You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. 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 You're tuned to This Week in Radio News. I'm Tom Rowe in the Wave Farm Study Center in upstate New York. On this episode of This Week in Radio News, we'll tune in the sounds of Henry Jacobs, who died September 25th, 2015. He was an American sound artist and humorist known for his radio work, his early electronic collages of tapes and sometimes everyday sounds. Jacobs worked with Pacifica radio station KPFA in Berkeley and later with Ken Nordine and Alan Watts. And we'll hear more about his life and some of the sounds he made, early experimental tape sounds, on This Week in Radio News. Also, headlines from the FCC and pirate radio and routers, and overseas radio in India and Syria, and radio-controlled drones that Apple won't let you know about on This Week in Radio News. Kyle Wenz reports at Wired that mesh networks in communities all over the world may be in danger from an unnoticed line of regulations from the Federal Communications Commission. In March 2014, the FCC updated requirements for UN2 devices using 5 gigahertz bandwidth that include many Wi-Fi devices and routers. It took over a year for anyone to notice a bit of regulatory language buried within the details of the plan that might affect the open source community. Quote, "Manufacturers must implement security features in any digitally modulated devices capable of operating in any of the UN2 bands so that third parties are not able to reprogram the device to operate outside the parameters for which the device was certified." Unquote. The rule is meant to target movie theaters turning radio waves into a white noise generator that blocks Wi-Fi Bluetooth signals within a 1,500-foot radius, and others acting in similar bad faith. But this March, the FCC published guidelines to help manufacturers stay within the law with another worrying line. Quote, "Describe in detail how the device is protected from flashing and the installation of third-party firmware such as DDWRT, unquote. DDWRT is free Linux-based firmware for wireless routers used in those community mesh networks that allow cheap access to broadband. But the FCC told TechDirt's Carl Bode that modifications in open-source software are fine, quote, as long as they do not add the functionality to modify the underlying operating characteristics of the RF parameters, unquote. But Wines worries that chip manufacturers will say, quote, the easiest thing for us to do is lock down all the middleware rather than worry about where to draw the line, unquote. That means that folks experimenting, tinkering, and changing electronic devices that use software-defined radio signals will have a tougher time innovating. Quote, in at least the last 5 years, amateur radio operators have found new and inventive ways to use these inexpensive devices to build broadband networks in support of community events and to prepare for deployment of these devices for emergency incidents, unquote, wrote ham radio operator James Kinter Jr. Quote, third-party software is the basis for many of the amateur radio projects that we then expand and customize for our own projects to easily allow us to build these projects without reinventing the wheel, unquote. Sean Wang at the Nieman Foundation reports that the Berlin-based nonprofit Media in Cooperation and Transition, in collaboration with the design firm IXDS, have created Pocket FM, a portable FM transmitter the size of a shoebox that starts working as soon as it's connected to a small antenna, power source, and an audio signal. Pocket FM looks like a radio receiver more than a transmitter and can reach a radius of about 6 kilometers. A Raspberry Pi mini computer drives the transmitter, and it's being used by the Media in Cooperation and Transition Group working with the German Federal Foreign Office to set up an independent Syrian radio network called the Syrian Radio Network, or SIRNET, with stations within Syria and outside sharing programming. Quote, the challenge in Syria is that it can be scary in some areas to set up a big FM transmitter because they are easy to detect, easy to destroy, and expensive to run, unquote, said Klaus Glenwickel, the group's co-founder and director. Quote, we had the idea of bringing in many small ones and creating a mesh of radio transmitters so people can access local information where TV and other means have failed, unquote. Larger transmitters could be stolen or taken over, while anyone can easily walk away with the pocket FM at the first sign of trouble. The transmitter can also find new open frequencies when broadcasts are jammed and can send listeners text messages. Now developers are trying to add the ability to turn off the transmitter remotely by mobile phone, and also a solar panel, GPS, and internet connectivity, all for a $2,000 price tag. Read the full story at the Nieman Lab website. The march of broadband all over the world continues forward, but it is a battle of wins and losses. Let's take India in the past week, for example. Google announced a plan last week to bring Wi-Fi signals to 10 million rail passengers a day there. The broadband will be free at first and available in 400 train stations across India. But while Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi visited Google in California for that announcement, he was being criticized back home for cutting off the internet. Radio Survivor reports that India has been blocking internet service in Jammu and Kashmir, and New Delhi Television quotes Kashmir's Inspector General of Police calling the ban on internet services a, quote, precautionary measure, unquote, in light of, quote, communal tensions, unquote. That internet jamming comes as Radio Maj Kashmir, a Kashmiri radio station, launched its online web stream last week. FCC Commissioner Michael O'Reilly, the leading critic of the commission's recent decision to cut back spending on the enforcement division, and someone who is very close with the National Association of Broadcasters Lobbyists, sounded another warning about the micro radio menace with the September 24th release of, quote, a draft pirate radio policy and enforcement statement, unquote. The statement lacks any specifics and instead restates the need for FCC action on this issue. Michael Marcus, a Spectrum tech and policy consultant who used to work in the FCC's Enforcement Bureau on rules for Wi-Fi and 60 gigahertz policy, replied to O'Reilly's post at FCC.gov saying that if the FCC is going to cut staff in the Enforcement Bureau, it should at least adequately fund the part of the office that improves productivity through technology. Quote, specialized equipment can improve the efficiency of monitoring for intermittent signals such as pirate broadcasting and intentional interference to other services by collecting data 24/7 for later analysis that can be used to refine location and operating details. Enforcement Bureau's field staff has been notoriously underfunded in technical equipment, as has the OET lab. The FCC 2016 budget proposal has $167,132 for Enforcement Bureau tech equipment and $121,920 for OET's lab. Enforcement Bureau's equipment development group in Powder Springs, Georgia, will shrink from 10 positions to 7 under the present plan, unquote. That sounds like specific criticism that might be useful in shaping policy. It's No Laughing Matter from Henry Jacobs, and we're tuned into some of the sounds of Henry Jacobs today on This Week in Radio News because he died September 25th, 2015. He got his first radio experience in the Air Corps during World War II, then in 1952 moved to Chicago and started experimenting with reel-to-reel tape recorders. He also started field recording, traveling to Haiti to make street recordings, and turning it all into a show called Music and Folklore that he produced for the University of Illinois radio station WILL. Later, he sent those tapes of the show Pacifica Station KPFA in Berkeley, which began airing them. He created unique radio stories covering, quote, world music, unquote. And if he couldn't find an actual expert, he made one up, like Shalom Stein, his Hebrew musicologist character that appeared on many recordings.
This is Henry Jacobs with another program of music and folklore. Today on our general series of programs dealing with the origins of music, we're going to discuss the origins of calypso with a rather well-known Hebrew scholar, Dr. Sholem Stein from the City College of New York. Dr. Stein has just returned from a trip throughout the Caribbean area where he's been collecting the examples of calypso you'll be hearing in the background. Well, Dr. Stein, I understand that you feel that there one time seems to have been a very significant Hebraic influence in the calypso music of the West Indies. Is that
that's,
true?
That's very true, Mr. Jacobs. You know the story of the wandering Jew, and we find the Hebraic characters on world history scattered all over, even in as far away places as Nassau and the Bahamas.
Well, now you pointed out in the lyrics of this tune we're hearing now regarding tomatoes.
Tomatoes, yes.
We might listen to the words for a moment, and then you could comment on some of the content as you were doing earlier.
Yes, I would be glad to do that, Mr. Jacobs. Tomatoes. Let me find these. I have it in my briefcase here. The tomatoes. Let's see now. Yes. Now, I will read it for you. You don't mind if I read it for you. Way down south where bananas grow, ants are stepping on elephant toes. Elephant jumped with tears in his eyes. He said, "Why don't you mash someone your size?" Now, Mr. Jacobs, this seems like an innocent verse, but comparing it with the Mishnah, you are familiar with the Mishnah?
Well,
the Mishnah, one of the seven books of Moses.
Yes.
It is the third book. There's a similar thing that doesn't refer to bananas, of course. Bananas were unknown in Jerusalem in the Old Testament times, you know. Bananas. Plantains.
Well, what plantains. Is the symbol here, would you say?
Well, bananas, you see, and plantains is similar, football-like, more of a football-like... The cosmos, you see, the cosmos, you know what I mean?
Yes.
There are scientific authorities today who have shown us with unerring accuracy that the world is, the earth, that is, as we know it, is not so much shaped more like a football, you know. And it seems to be maintaining its balance that way.
Well, now,
going on and on through the ages, you see.
Are the inhabitants of these areas aware themselves, conscious of the...
No, they're very innocent people, Mr. Jacobs. They have no awareness of anything of this type, no. Childlike people, very simple.
Nominally,
nice people, very nice, yes. I enjoyed my stay particularly very much there.
Nominally, you would say they are Christian now.
Well, yes, more or less, yes, I suppose so. They are unaware of their Hebraic origins.
Is there any, reaction that you anticipate after the publication of your monograph on this finding?
Well, I had some phone calls, yes, I did, some very interesting phone calls.
And,
But it was mostly... They're mostly concerned personal matters, you know, nothing serious.
Well, I understand you
I had to go to see my in-laws, things of that sort. It wasn't related to the subject at hand. So we might as well leave that out of the discussion, don't you think?
Dr. Stein,
yes.
I understand that one of your areas of secondary interest is in the field of political science.
Yes, yes, political and science.
The,
oh, yes.
Of course, the picture in Palestine has been of interest to
you. Did you see that picture?
No, doctor, I meant the picture in
oh,
the general.
Oh, I see.
In 1953, Jacobs moved to Berkeley and began working with KPFA, recording radio program number one for the Folkways record label in 1957. At the time, he met folks like poet Lawrence Ferlinghetti, Kenneth Rexroth, Allen Ginsberg, comedian Lenny Bruce, and Mongo Santamaria, the musician. But he also started working with Ken Nordine, the word jazz poet, and Alan Watts, the radio talker, and for talking about Eastern philosophy to Western audiences. And then Mo Ash, the founder of Folkways Records, discovered Jacobs and put out radio program number one, Audio Collage, Henry Jacobs' Music and Folklore, in 1955. Later, he released the Wide Weird World of Shorty Peterson, sort of discourse between hipsters and squares, in the late 50s.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like you to meet Shorty Peterson, who is one of the up-and-coming jazz French trumpeters, do they call him, Oscar?
No, man, I blow French horn.
Would you get a little, just a...
Yeah, I blow French horn.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
Yeah.
Get a little closer, Oscar.
French horn, man.
Uh-huh, French horn.
Yeah.
And what do they call you, a French hornist?
Well, you know, like I blow horn, man.
Would you speak up a little bit, Oscar?
I blow horn, man.
Yeah. Fine. And tell me, how do you like Dixieland, Oscar?
Well, I mean, you know.
Well, what about, would you say, Tchaikovsky?
Yeah, man. I dig more like, Bartok scene or... Shostakovich or some bit like that, man, because, I mean, I'm more swinging. You know?
How would you compare the kind of music play with... How would you compare that with art? You know, what kind of art,
man,
artistic...
Well,
like,
I think art blows the most. I mean,
mm-hmm.
He came with a band about 3 years ago, man, and, like, he was a real, small-town cat, and, I mean, he was swinging, man, but he was a small-town cat.
Uh-huh.
And, I mean, he started to blow with us, and it was a real nut, you know?
Yeah,
Jacobs later recorded for Locust Music and important records, but most of his best-known works are on Folkways. Let's hear Audio Collage, perhaps his most famous work.
Audio collage. So you didn't know Charlie too well. You just sort of met him living here?
Who?
Charlie Ross.
Oh, I knew him for a couple of years. You know.
Oh.
Yeah, he was here every day.
Go for smoke?
Thank you. I don't do nothing myself either. I'm retired from the Army and just loafing around.
Oh. How long are you in the Army?
30 years.
30 years? Sergeant?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Buck or master?
No, just staff sergeant.
Staff, huh?
What you... Oh, mess sergeant, I was.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You ought to know how to cook, then, huh?
Oh, yeah. One thing, I cook my own stuff in here.
What'd you think of the setup Charlie had out there in the yard?
Yeah, it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
A lot of people used to come through, you know.
People knew him from all over, didn't
they? Oh, yeah. He was known all over the town. He lived here for 30 years.
30 years, huh?
He used to go and pick up all the junk, you know, pick up junk all around. And then he'd fix them up, you know.
Well, they, when he died, they give him any funeral or anything?
Oh, yeah.
I suppose a lot of people came, huh?
Oh, sure. Well, he died in the hospital. Then they took him to the undertaker. Yeah, a lot of people went there.
Well, what was he trying to do with the... making all those figures and everything.
Oh, that was just his hobby, I don't know.
I thought
he had nothing to do. He was on the old age pension, you know.
Yeah.
Every people that come through, they used to put in a dime. He had a tin can out there and put in a dime or a nickel or something.
How much do you owe the car?
Well, I owe my father, $1,300.
Oh, the car isn't even worth that, is it?
Well, no. I don't owe him that all on the car. I mean, I have about six bills on the car. About seven.
Is he in a position where he could use the bread, or...?
Yeah, he's just going into a new enterprise.
What does he do?
He's now a free, kind of a freestyle manufacturer's representative. I mean, he carries four or five different lines and has these territories and sets them all up, you know. It's a good thing, but he worked as the general manager for this one company for years, about 15 years, and it was bugged that he wasn't getting more bread, you know what I mean? Like, he handled the whole business and they weren't doing right, so he put it down and went off into this thing he's doing now, which is good, but he's entails some traveling and a lot of original investment, you know, goodwill and all that sort of thing. It's taking some loot. So the $800 that he plunked down buying the money of my car, why, he wasn't in a position to do that either, but was with the understanding that I would pay him with the regularity that I would pay the finance company, you know.
No.
Well, I'd be off from under the...
Have you been doing that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm paying him on the average of $20 a week. Yeah. Plus, I have some other debts. I have another $200 debt and then a couple of $30 things. You know, have to get out of.
All right, but listen. You know what the trouble is now?
What?
People in Evanston haven't got the money. Why haven't got the money? The stocks don't pay. And these people were mostly on...
What, are the police still after, you?
Nah, no.
You know, it's bad for you to be around here when those cops come around.
They were never after me, no.
They said you held up a bank. I can't understand that.
Can't say anything. They're crazy in hell. I used to be ahead of the detectives on Maine Maloney years ago. They can't say anything.
I know you were a detective once.
Yeah.
Did you solve any important crimes?
Sure, did I? Listen, I had one fella. He's dead now, Louis Bach. He was the guy that catched the five car bonnets. The 5 years ago. You ever read the book on car bonnets? You know, listen. People would like to have that book more on car barns bandits, see? And we have to learn a little bit more of Capone. You know why? You won't get so much.
I heard that Al Capone isn't dead, that he's hiding out.
No, he's dead. He died in Florida.
Did you see him get buried?
I know he was living. He was the fellow was always bad. And I know when I tell him...
I understand
name,
that you worked with him.
No, you're crazy.
As a secret agent.
No. I was a milkman at all that dirt time on the Gold Coast. See, I was a milkman. Had the milk wagon. From North Street to Schiller, and then from Schiller up to Division C. And later on, I had him downtown saying I was a milkman. My life was most of the 15 years on the milk wagon, see. And I was with the detectives on my side, that I was not only on the milk wagon, I advised them that somebody got killed, or, I mean, saying I always let the detective know about it. See,
I understand that you were responsible for poisoning five people with your milk. That under orders of the gangsters.
No.
That's what I read in an old newspaper.
No, you're crazy. Listen, I had the Gold Coast, and the only thing is when this guy was buying liquor, he didn't want to buy Solomon. Did you ever hear where Solomon's liquor place is?
Yeah, I've heard of it. Sure, that used to be a big hangout for gangsters and bandits.
That's still there. Yeah.
The carborn bandits were there.
Well, now listen, Capone is still... Listen, carborn...
You know what was wrong with Capone?
Listen, I know
he had bad eyes.
Listen, forget about that. Listen, he is... Listen, you know what he is? Listen, he is the old La Mafia.
what you call the old
What's
mafia.
What's the mafia? What's that?
The mafia. That's the old black bandits, see?
Where from?
From Italy, see.
Italy?
Sure.
Never heard of them.
Well, listen, it was in the Tribune the other day showing you the corner where 45 people were killed right as soon as they walked by, and he was pointed out. That guy used to shoot them right out through the windows.
Now, this was one of the very fundamental things. There is nothing really new about that, except without this particular diagram.
And Buddhism and Mohammedisms and some other isms and splisms and splasms. And on the West Coast, I've never seen so many isms and splasms in my life as they've got out there. One place out there, they even worship the devil. One old boy tried to walk on the water out there one day, sun worshiper. Fire department had to fish him out.
We wonder if you're wondering what you're listening to. This is Audio Collage. But if you're wondering why you're listening, why aren't you working? Why aren't you working?
Work for American people.
What did you do for them?
I cook, wash, or yarn. I do everything.
How long were you with them?
Oh, I work for somebody for 3 years. American man come in and stay here. After I finish work, after he leave, go New York, I work for other people, American, not same people, you know?
Haiti is one of the most cultured countries in the real sense that I have ever visited. I have been so moved that I have done no filming in a week.
Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, bum again. Hallelujah, I'm a bum. Hallelujah, give us a handout to revive us again.
We've been listening to the works of Henry Jacobs, who died September 25th, 2015, after leaving a legacy of early experimental tape compositions, field recordings, and more. I'm Tom Rue for This Week in Radio News. Preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.